If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Juan Castillo. This is the Electric Drum. Now, this morning in the studio, I have Norville Martin. He's a resident of West Haven, and I grew up in West Haven. And he is a personal trainer. Also, he's a blogger. He writes about health and fitness. And we are here to talk to him about health and fitness as well as his life. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Blessed to be here, man.
Absolutely. That's all good. So you grew up in West Haven.
Yep.
Tell me about life in West Haven where you were growing up, man.
It was very interesting. you know, I think it really, you know, brought the most of the man out of me, per se. And it really put me in position to, you know, take me where I am today when it comes to just growing up through, you know, middle school and high school and eventually taking me into college. But it's just really just bring the best out of me when it comes to, you know, growing up, you know, bringing out the manhood, I guess you can say.
Right, right. Now, you know, you got very tight-knit family. You have a twin.
Yeah, I do.
Right, right. You know, and your mom and dad, you know, two-parent household, you know, growing up. Tell me about your family and how that's influenced, you know, you becoming the man that you are.
Absolutely. Well, my mom, she's a social worker, and she has her own business.
Yes.
And that definitely influenced me to have my own. And what got me into athletics was my dad. My dad has been playing athletics his whole life. He actually went to Hill House in New Haven. And he really just, you know, brought that athletic side of me and my brother. And that's what got me into that, you know, motivation to believe that, you know, I could make it to the big leagues and you know, really take it to that next level. And, you know, that's pretty much was the biggest impact from an athletic standpoint, but also the, you know, academics and the, you know, the mental aspect came from my mom. So, you know, that collective, you know, union of, you know, athleticism and academic, that definitely worked hand in hand for me.
Right, right, right. So now you went to Hyde.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And you played football and basketball.
Yes.
Tell me about Hyde and that experience.
Hyde was awesome. I mean, I, you know, had some great friends there. A lot of my, I guess you'd say, growing pains came from there, not just from an academic point of view, but definitely from athletics. I played with some individuals who eventually played in the pros, so it definitely stepped my game up. Right. And, you know, even the coaching and the environment, you know, coming from like a small school, not as big as, you know, the other New Haven public schools, but just, you know, having that, you know, kind of a chip on your shoulder and always, you know, being on, you know, on top of your game. That's really been the biggest thing for me.
Right, yeah, you know, going up against the crosses and the hills, yeah, right, and the careers. So who was your coach in football while you were there?
John Acevedo.
Okay, tell me about your relationship with him.
It was a good relationship. I think I had a bigger relationship with Charles Neal.
Okay.
He was really the one that actually invited me to play football. At first, I wasn't really into football at the time.
He was an assistant coach?
He was an assistant coach, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And, he, you know, at first, he always been telling me, just try it out. And, you know, I just kind of like pushed it aside because I was all into playing ball and really trying to, you know, take myself to that next level because I've just been used to that since my dad has been, you know, putting that influence on me. But then, you know, that one summer, I was just like, you know what, listen, just try it out. You know, I think that, you know, really bringing the man out of me, you know, was the, you know, the big change for me when it comes to athletics. And I was like, you know what, let me just go ahead and hit somebody, you know, I just want to just do it.
A little physical sport, right?
Yeah, so
not that basketball is not physical.
No, definitely.
So now who's your coach in basketball?
It was my first coach was Coach Aaron Johnson. He was my freshman coach, and he, you know, it was a different from, you know, playing in middle school. I could tell you that,
right,
you know,
right.
A lot of running and everything like that. And then I had Coach Steve Jefferson. He was the one that, you know, the varsity coach that really, you know, brought the whole thing together when it comes to unity. Something that, you know, when you're first playing ball, it's all about, you know, one-on-one and things like that. But then
right.
when you run that team morality and things like that, and, you know, putting people together, you know, it's been good. You know, it was something that, you know, I truly need to see, you know, as a, you know, player and as a man.
Yeah, that's great. So tell me, I mean, you know, growing up in New Haven is not, you know, in the inner city is not an easy thing. Going to school in the inner city is not an easy thing. You know, you see a lot of things. And some of them are bad, right?
Yeah.
You know, so tell me, how did you get around, man, all of the negativity?
I think just one is great parenting. I'll definitely say that. But I think it's also just, you know, sticking to one thing. I think that, you know, when you're in a position of greatness and really taking yourself to that next level, you know, people kind of get, you know, trapped with the, you know, the short term stuff, like, okay, you know, let me go on the street or do this and go, you know, go that, you know, whatever's popular. And sometimes, you know, when you do certain things, you know, people want that short comfort, you know, but me, I like to go for the marathon. I think me staying for the long haul of me going to study hall or me, you know, staying that extra time going to, you know, practices and learning about myself and eventually maybe do successful on the field and also in the classroom, that kind of made me feel that this is where I need to be versus doing what everybody else is doing, trying to get that short-term comfort of whether they're doing, you know, any extracurricular activities that, you know, we see as bad. Right. But I think when I saw myself developing, you know, as a man with athletics, and you know, my coach actually, you know, telling me, you know, you can go to college, you can like go to school for free, and I'm like, I'm gonna go for free. Okay, let's try this out, let's do it. You know, like, right. Hey, let's make this happen. And right. I think that's what got me, you know, that big turnaround and just keeping that focus, keeping that, you know, marathon going and not just going for the sprint or whatever is out there to keep me, you know, distracted. I think that was, you know, my main thing was just staying in course, staying in that marathon, and you know, going for the long haul and not for the short haul.
Right. This is Juan Castillo. You're listening to The Electric Drum. I'm speaking with Norville Martin. He's a personal fitness you know, person here who does a lot of work with people here in the community. A lot of us need the personal attention when it comes down to fitness. You know, so Norville referred to me by some of our personalities here at the radio station. He's, you know, taking good care of them. We'll be talking more about that, you know, and what he does for a living right now. But right now we're at the point where, you know, he's at Hyde playing football and basketball and, you know, just trying to find himself as a young man. Often, you know, people talk about the company that you keep, right?
Right.
You know, and how that helps, right? Mm-hmm. Tell me about your friends and tell me about, you know, how you were able to, you know, to use that, you know, as a way to stay out of trouble.
Absolutely. Just in any kind of sport, or, you know, you can even say it yourself. I think, being around a team, you know, we all have the same goal. And, you know, having certain individuals that believe in you and believe that you can be better, that was key for me. My brother, he played on the team as well. So, I mean, he kept the family and the team, right? But for the most part, I think my friends, you know, guided me to, you know, toughen up. I think that's the main thing, especially being, you know, in New Haven. It was, you know, a lesson that needed to be learned that, you know, there's times that you got to toughen up. There's things that, you know, those intangibles and, you know, living in, you know, New Haven or in West Haven. I think that was the thing. I think it was just those things that I had to learn for myself that my parents can't teach. And, you know, those things that, you know, took me to that next level was, you know, really strengthening myself, you know, going through all the negativity, no matter what somebody's talking about you or anything like that. It was all about just, you know, toughening up, man up. And I took that to the court. You know, that made me, you know, dominant in the court because I had to man up. It's not about, you know, they've been calling me soft or whatever it was.
Right.
But I think just, you know, they taught me, hey, you got to toughen up at some point. You know, it's not going to be what it, you know, always going to been, you know, years ago. And that what really took me to that next level to say, hey, I need to toughen up.
Yeah. And toughen up also means, you know, like it's just being able to say no to the negativity. That's being tough.
Absolutely.
You know, because, you know, absolutely. A lot of people, that's really, you punking out really when you do that. Right.
Yeah. But the thing is that you're making the wise choice and not just going with the, like I said before, it's not a popularity contest. There's going to be times where you're not going to be able to go with the flow with everybody else. And you got to go ahead and stick your foot down and let people know, hey, you know, this is my life and I know what the right road is. And it might not, you know, lead where I think you want me to lead. But if I'm going to make my own choices, I got to put my foot down and say, hey, this is how it's going to be done.
Right. So you're getting ready to graduate out of Hyde, you know. Tough decisions, you know. Where you going to go to school? What you going to do? You're playing two sports. Got to decide which one, you know, you're going to use to get a scholarship, if not both. Tell me about that experience.
Definitely. Well, there were some other things that kind of took me away from getting my chances of getting that scholarship. So one of my goals that my coach told me was like, hey, go to a, you know, a lower division school and then work up your resume to the point where you can go, you know, become a walk-on and get a scholarship in that way. So I was like, okay, I could work with that. So while I was in high school, I was going into writing, and that was the biggest thing for me because it just, you know, let out that emotion, that, you know, that release that helped me from an academic standpoint, which got me to the scholarship, to, you know, a quarter scholarship to the school that I went to, which was Western Connecticut State University.
Okay.
And it was, you know, it was, you know, a big change, like, you know, going from high school to college. But, you know, definitely when it came to the football, you know, after my coach, you know, knew that I was going there, he already sent me a program right there from there. And it's like, it's time to go, you know, right. And that's when immediately I had to man up, right. You know, like, hey, this is my life now. So from there, that's when everything started to change from, you know, getting that program, getting in the weight room, and then also taking summer courses, you know, in the summer. So I didn't really have a summer vacation. I didn't go out on vacation. I didn't go, you know, where everybody was going. Everybody was having fun. I'm in college taking courses and getting ready for, you know, summer camp. So that was really big for me. You know, I had to take away all my fun and all my enjoyment to, you know, make this moment that I truly wanted to bring out, which was, you know, being a student athlete.
Right. So while you were there, who were some of your mentors, you know, while you were over at Western? Now, you lived on campus, right?
Oh, I lived on campus, yes.
Who were some of your mentors while you were there?
One of my mentors was my coach. That was my coach, John Burrell. And he was the one that really kind of guided me to, you know, stay on a team, because in that type of environment, you know, people get caught up in college and, you know, there's certain distractions that happen. And, you know, he kind of saw something in me when I first came into camp and said, you know, you're going to be the one that's going to lead this team. And as a freshman, I'm, you know, 18 years old, I'm like, how can I think of something like that? So somebody saw something in me that I didn't see in myself, and that was attractive to me. So he was the main one. Pretty much my coaches and the captains of the football team, Tom McDonald, Kevin Marchant, you know, they really taught me how to, you know, live through that college life and things like that, but just staying focused. And, you know, that was the biggest thing for me, just staying focused, not getting caught up with, you know, college life, if you want to call it that, just staying in the classroom and handling your business when you get to the field.
Now, You always had a penchant for writing.
Absolutely.
Tell me about, you know, where did that love come from early and why did you decide to kind of follow that while you were in college?
I think that it came, well, I think I got it from my mom, because my mom was actually writing as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember in high school, my English teacher, Miss Buckley, she really came to me at a low point in my life, you know, in high school, where I couldn't really, you know, express myself. You know, I was always expressing myself, you know, on the court or on the field per se, but not really, you know, from an academic standpoint. And, you know, I had a couple things going on in high school, and I felt that, you know, putting into a craft was writing. And, you know, from there, it just kind of, you know, just snowballed, and people started to like it. They're like, hey, you know, you write really well. And I was like, really? And I was like, yeah. And I was like, okay. So once I got into college, I got more into journalism. And, you know, I see a lot of, you know, people who, you know, could write so eloquently with, you know, certain individuals. And I was like, you know, I want to do something like that. You know, I want to be able to, you know, talk about somebody probably like yourself, you know, make a story about it and make it so powerful and meaningful that somebody could just read it, you know, 10, 15 years from now and say, that's amazing.
Right.
And that was like really my big thing, was trying to, you know, go into sports, you know, in the sports writing, sports journalism, and put myself in a position to really bring out the best out of people from a writing perspective.
Right, right. So you get ready to graduate from Western. Okay, so all of us, you know, who at some point, you know, have gotten involved with sports, is the pros part of my future or it's not? Yeah. Right? So tell me about that.
Absolutely. I mean, I remember it was my sophomore year, and before that season, we didn't really do that good. And I came back the next season, I gained like 15, 20 pounds of muscle, and everybody was just like, man, this guy's like, you know, he's like 260, 265. This guy's about to go ahead and take over, man.
Right.
And, you know, he's like, he got faster too, man. I'm like, yeah, you know, you might be able to go to the league. I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you know, I was like, and I kind of like, it just drove into my head and I started to believe that. So throughout the years, you know, I did well individually, but as a team, we didn't really do as well. So they kept telling me, you know what, just keep getting better, and you'll be able to make it to the league. And I just kept putting that in my brain. But then over time, you know, my knees started to go bad a little bit, started to get injured. And it kind of, you know, bothered me during the season. So I was like, okay, you know, maybe just give it some rest and give it some time, everything will be all right. But, you know, there were times where my knees were just, like, so bad. There was times I couldn't even get up out of the bed. And I'm like, I'm 21 years old. I can't be having, you know, 60-plus-year-old problems, you know. And wow. That was my kind of perspective. So I was like, you know, where am I going to go from here? You know, is it, you know, try to take a risk of, you know, going to the NFL but not knowing how long I'm going to last or, you know, doing something else. You know, and that's where, you know, I had to kind of make a decision where or not I was going to, you know, go forth with being a professional athlete or going with my passion.
What did you decide?
Well, I decided to go with my passion of fitness in writing. And I was in a struggle between the two and how I could put that together because I was, like I said, I was always into writing and, you know, I've been doing sports since, you know, since I was 5 years old. And I was like, how can I really put the two together? So I became a personal trainer. And, you know, I trained with a lot of collegiate athletes. Some athletes actually played overseas now. And it was awesome. They were like, oh, man, you know, you should go ahead and start training, you know, professional athletes. I was like, really? I was like, okay. But I started to write about it. You know, that was the thing. I started to write about these athletes. I started to write about these individuals. And, you know, like, social media wasn't really as big as, you know, back then. But now, you know, it started to get, you know, big now. And that was my thing. I was like, you know what? Let me go ahead and train athletes. And then be able to go ahead and write about it, you know, to really bring the best out of them, not just what they do on the court, but seeing how people could see that, you know, greatness of that person. And that's what I wanted to go ahead and bring out. So, yeah.
And that's what you're doing now. Juan Castillo with you. This is the electric drum. I'm speaking with Norville Martin. He grew up in West Haven and went to Hyde, played football and basketball, then went on to Western. And played football there and, you know, did very well there. But had some issues, you know, with his knees. And, you know, we just finished talking about how, you know, he had to make a decision about whether he was going to go on to the NFL and risk, you know, his health and career for that matter, you know, because he had some very bad injuries to his knees. And he decided to become a personal trainer and also become a blogger and a writer that talks about health and fitness. So Norville, you know, let's talk about the writing first.
Okay.
Right? You know, so you actually do a blog and you talk about the athletes that you train and you talk about their lives.
Well, what I did before coming out of college was working with athletes. As I became personal trainer, I wanted to develop a universal type of feel. So I started to work with not just athletes, but, you know, other individuals as well. Some people who do work, you know, in this company.
Right.
And every time that I would, you know, train someone, I would get a good perception of, you know, the emotion that comes out of them when it comes to, you know, working out or how they're eating and things of that nature. And I would create a, you know, a lifestyle that some people don't really get when they, you know, come into the gym. So I write about it and I'll talk about things that, you know, issues when it comes to, you know, weight loss or fat loss or people struggling with, you know, building lean muscle and stuff like that. And I'll write those things down.
Right.
And blog about it. And people will catch notes like, hey, you know, this is awesome. This kind of makes me want to go ahead and go to the gym now. And
right.
From there, that's when I knew. I was like, now I found the connection of putting fitness and writing at the same time. So it was, you know, once I found that combination, I was like, I just fell in love with it. And it was awesome.
Let me ask you a question. I mean,
sure.
And especially, you know, now with the whole issue of concussions in the NFL. New movie by Denzel Washington, you know, that just in theaters now. You know, talk about, you know, your perspective on, you know, you said you started playing it when you were 5 years old, right?
Right.
And you know, we're finding that, you know, football is a very violent sport. I mean, we already knew that.
Absolutely.
You know, but we're finding now that, you know, that, you know, by getting involved with the sport, there's a great possibility of you having a very, very bad life because of concussions. And in your case, you know, if you didn't make the decision, proper decision, you could end up being a cripple, you know, and not being able to walk, right? You know, what is your perspective on that?
Well, there actually been a study that also added on to that, that even the life expectancy of the average NFL player is 65.
Wow.
So, I mean, not that that was the reason why I stepped away from the game, but just knowing that the violence of the sport of people are getting bigger, faster, and stronger. Yes. That's also creating bigger and faster and stronger risk. I guess, yeah. You know, throw that in there. So
right.
I think that my view of it is, as technology and research has been, you know, on this subject, it's the awareness is expanding. I think that's a good thing. However, I guess, as athletes, you know, just from an athletic perspective, we have to be a lot more careful on how we, you know, go about the sport. I think that, you know, when people go for the big hits or, you know, they go for those things that, you know, people love to see, there's also a high risk with that. And we kind of have to look at the longevity aspect versus the, you know, the high flare, the big hits, the, you know, the oohs and ahs. You know, those are things that's great to see that sells tickets, but it's also, you know, selling prescriptions of, you know, pain pills and things like that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think that the awareness is better than it was before. Obviously, you know, back in the day, we didn't really have that much technology and research on the subject. So in my opinion, I think it's great that the awareness is up and people are starting to take more caution of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, now folks are being, you know, put on the bench for two games because they had a concussion, and you know, and all that stuff is transparent now.
Absolutely. And I had one myself, so trust me, I know.
You have one.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you this question. If you, you know, do you have any children?
No.
Okay. So if you had, when you have a son or if you end up with a son, would you guide him towards playing football?
I would, in a way of whatever is natural to him. So, like, for example, if he's, you know, if he runs really fast, okay, he could probably go ahead and, you know, play running back or receiver. Or if he wants to hit or he enjoys contact, then he can go ahead and play defense. I think that a child should be able to grow into the sport rather than being forced into the sport.
Right.
So I think that if someone, you know, if I had my child to start playing, you know, basketball like myself or soccer, you know, and getting his footwork, getting things going on from there, then if he has that type of, you know, tenacity and that type of, you know, growth within himself to learn football and wants to go ahead and adapt to that type of lifestyle, then so be it. But I think he has a child should grow into it naturally, because I think that's where the natural talent comes out versus, you know, somebody who's been forced to play because, you know, their, you know, mother or father kind of like, you know, pinned him down on the sport.
However, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So your son is a good athlete like you, mm-hmm. an all around athlete, and he has a choice, right?
Okay.
And he's coming to you, you know, for direction, right?
Absolutely.
And counsel. And he says, hey, dad, you know, like football or basketball, man, right?
And if it had to be either football or basketball, I would probably say football.
Yeah.
Despite only because there's a level of brotherhood. I know that there's both team sports, but with the concept of the game being a lot more team oriented versus basketball, you know, because, you know, in basketball, you know, there's one player that can go ahead and take over the game.
True.
Versus, you know, there's 11 players on the field that have to make sure they respond and do their objectives in order to make sure they score that touchdown.
I get that.
Get that interception and whatnot.
So, no, but no. You skirting the issue.
No.
I told you I was going to put you on the spot, right?
Oh,
I'm talking about the fact that you know that health-wise, right, playing football,
mm-hmm.
like you said yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
65 years
is
the average life of most football players.
Absolutely.
Some damage from concussions,
absolutely.
All of that.
Absolutely.
Answer.
I would have to go ahead and say football. I know. I look at it this way. The way I look at it, with the years that are going on with the research and, like I said, the awareness is out there. You know, like I said, back in the day where, you know, people were just getting clocked like it was nothing. And, you know, if you just go ahead and take some ibuprofen and call it a day, that's not going to work anymore. I think people are doing a lot more research. The awareness is a lot more expanded. And, you know, we see it, you know, in the playoffs, people are getting fined for, you know, legal hits and things like that. So the awareness is out there. I think that as long as, you know, the sport is, you know, keeping that awareness of safety, then at least people are a lot more aware than, you know, before. So,
Let me ask you this question. Let me also ask you this, right? Do you think that if a player continuously violates the rules of the game with the new rules, right?
Okay.
Where, you know, no head on head, you know, hits, continues to do it over and over and over again, do you think that those people should be banned from the game?
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. Okay. 100%. There's no excuse for that. I think that, you know, when I talked about before, a lot of people want to go for those big hits. A lot of people, you know, they go for the oohs and ahs, but you got to understand there's people, those individuals, especially in the NFL, they got children to feed. They have a family to, you know, take care of. And trying to knock somebody out that could, you know, not just lose their career, but lose their life, that's something that's a lot bigger than just you trying to get an ooh and an ah or a YouTube replay or something like that.
And, you know, the other part of it is, like, what they also found that it's not, a lot of times it's not just helmet on helmet. It's also leading with the helmet when you're going to tackle someone. So when you go, you could go into, you know, their midsection with your helmet, you're still causing a concussion type situation for yourself.
Absolutely.
When you don't have to do that.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So in terms of, you know, training and working with young kids, because that's where it starts, right?
Absolutely.
Talk about that.
I think that, you know, it all comes back to coaching.
Yeah.
And, you know, the aspects of tackling, you know, doing it the proper way. We know that in athletics, you know, not everything is going to be in that perfect situation for you to make a certain play.
Right.
So I think that when you have a child, you know, that sees, you know, a certain, you know, play where somebody leads with the helmet or something like that, have that child, you know, be acknowledged from the coaches that, hey, you know, that's not how it's supposed to be done. This is how it's supposed to be done. And make sure that's being emphasized in every play and not just going for, like I said, the glamour and glitz and, you know, the big plays, you know, because those things happen naturally. And that's how I got into, you know, playing football, because I thought it was all about, you know, I'm going to get my teeth knocked out because, you know, I'm going, you know, leading with my helmet. But as I was being coached, you know, leading with the shoulder and make sure you're, you know, rising through your hips and knowing where your power is coming from, that changed my whole perception. Like, hey, I can do this without, you know, feeling like I'm going to get my head chopped off or something.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
That was the whole thing. It all comes down to coaching.
Yeah. Juan Castillo, I'm discussing concussions and football and all of that with Norville Martin. He's a personal trainer. I played football at Hyde and also at Western Connecticut State. And, you know, we're just talking about, you know, how important it is today to, if you're going to have your kids playing football, to somehow, you know, monitor that, you know, because, you know, it could be a problem later on in life. So let's talk about health and fitness and your personal training business, right? So someone comes to you and says, look, you know what, I am not. You know, motivated enough to go into the gym and do everything that I'm supposed to do. In some cases, sometimes I come into the gym and, you know, I get on my mic, I might do some circuit training, I mean, on my bike, and I might, you know, do some circuit training, and it's a beautiful day. I do everything I'm supposed to do. Some other days I come in, I'm not motivated, and I leave, right? Dieting-wise, you know, I stick to my diet to some degree, but on the most part, that's a very difficult thing for me to do, right? So I'm coming to you to guide me and to let me know how can I get better at what I'm doing. What do you say?
Well, for the first thing, we have to understand the nature of a diet. Diets, people go into them and they end up going out of it. So that's the first thing. You know, you want to create a lifestyle of wanting to get better. It's not just for a short-term goal or a, you know, a short season. You know, people, you know, getting healthy for the summers or to get ready for like a spring fling or something like that.
Right.
You want to get ready for the long haul.
Yes.
And just like in anything in life, it's going to take work. But I think people should look at the lifestyle of, you know, constant improvement. And what I tell my clients that work with me is that, you know, you're in this not for the summer. You're not in this for a certain day. You're in this for life because it takes your whole life to do this. And when they see their life changing from the constant, you know, efforts of, you know, meal prepping or, you know, putting a workout together, and they see themselves, you know, becoming more disciplined and creating boundaries of, okay, I can't eat this, I can't eat that, because I know that's going to affect my health. You know, you're growing, you know, as a human being versus, you know, okay, I just got to stay away from McDonald's because my trainer told me to. You know, there's no life-giving, life-changing effect if I just told someone just to do this because your trainer told you to. Mm-hmm. But you actually see yourself growing as a human being because you're putting the lifestyle aspect versus the short-term, you know, diet or, you know, magic pill or whatever is out there.
Right. Right. So tell me, what's your philosophy in terms of what a well-rounded program is? I mean, is it a combination of cardio with weight training, with, you know, calisthenics? What? Talk about that.
Okay, sure. So with a well-balanced program, it's a combination, like you said, of resistance training, cardiovascular training or cardio per se, and even stretching, you know, because a lot of people, as they get older, you know, their joints, their range of motion gets shortened, you know, especially for, you know, athletes as well.
Yeah, I'm trying to stretch right now.
Definitely. So
ahead,
it's also it's something that I also put into my program, a lot of personal development. I think that's like really the missing component of the, you know, the motivation factor. People not really seeing the bigger picture of why they're doing what they're doing. So when they incorporate, you know, certain qualities like, you know, believing in yourself, having that motivation, having that tenacity, and having that understanding of mastery, constantly improving yourself, that's going to make fitness more of a lifestyle, making it more personal versus something that's more external. And when they really put that out there, it's really, you know, just monumental for these individuals that I work with. And I had one individual that lost 150 pounds in 1 year.
Fantastic.
Because she just said, hey, this is personal. This is not just something that I'm doing for a couple months.
Right.
This is what I'm in for the long haul. And, you know, now she does Zumba now, and it's awesome. So she's impacting a lot of individuals, you know, to go for the long haul and not just going for the, you know, the short term, you know, comfort.
Right, right. So, how does it make you feel, man? I mean, I know you're doing a lot. I know how those folks feel. But how does it make you feel, man, to have such an impact on people's lives?
Man, there's words sometimes came and describe it. Sometimes even emotions came and describe it.
Yes.
Because when there's people that, you know, need help. You know, I think we're all here built to help and, you know, serve and be that service to individuals, and to do that in a way that can make their life become better so they can become a service to someone else. That's bigger than any paycheck that I ever got in my life. I think that it's powerful to really take people to that next level of greatness, not just within their physical bodies, because, you know, their whole lives change, you know, their relationships with their spouse or with their friends change, you know, even when they're going to buy clothes or something like that, those things change. Everything around them changes just from the one tool of fitness. And to be able to be a steward and a keeper of something like this, it's really amazing. Like, I can't even describe it. It's
great.
Awesome.
Good for you, man. Well, listen, man, it's been a pleasure, man. You know, before you go, though, we got to do a little thing I call give and go.
All right.
All right, so I'm going to give you some questions, and then you give me the answers, right?
You got it.
So real quick, right? So, you know, so who's your favorite NFL player right now?
Ray Lewis. Well, he's not playing right now, but Ray Lewis is my all-time favorite.
That's your all-time favorite. Yep. All right, who's going to the Super Bowl, man?
I would say, I don't want to say it, but I think it's going to be the Patriots and the Panthers.
All right. Who wins?
Panthers.
I'm not a Cam Newton guy, huh?
Yeah.
All right. So Now, also, what's your favorite meal, man? You're a personal trainer. What's your favorite meal?
My favorite meal? Actually, my girlfriend makes the best chicken Alfredo in the world, man. I have to say it.
Well, you can't have too much of
it. I can't
have
too much of it, but I'm telling you, she makes the best chicken Alfredo in the world, man.
Our favorite movie of all time, man?
Rush Hour.
Wow, okay. Favorite television show?
Favorite television show, wow. I would have to say Burn Notice. I know it doesn't come on anymore, but Burn Notice, that's the one show that I actually went through every season with. So.
Okay, all right. So listen, man, so if you had to go to war, right, you know, and win, right, you know, who would that person be right next to you to go to war?
Wow. I'd probably say my girlfriend, actually, because she's a trooper, man. And, you know.
And what's her name?
Dominique.
All right. Yeah, big up to Dominique, man. Yeah. You're going to war.
Yeah, I go to war
with
any day.
Norvell.
That's right. I'll be in the front, but she'll be there.
That's a beautiful thing, man. Yeah. Hey, brother, I want to thank you. But you got some shouts out,
yeah, man. I want to go ahead and, first of all, shout out to you, man, for bringing me here, man. I truly appreciate it.
Yeah.
I want to go ahead and shout out to, you know, my mom, my dad, you know, they really guided me and put me in this position. Shout out to my beautiful queen, Dominique. You know, I know she's listening to it as well. Shout out to all my friends, my A1 crew back in, you know, in the gym. You know, y'all know who you are. And just everybody who's listening, man. Shout out to all of you. You guys are hardworking. You guys are dedicated. And just know that your part-time failures don't make up your full-time success.
And your brother, your twin brother.
Oh, yeah, my twin brother. You're getting married, man. So
that's cool.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome, man. So, yeah, shout out to you, man. I'll make sure, you know, I get some of that cake, all right?
That's all good, man. Brother, thank you so much for coming, man.
Yeah, thank you, man.
You've been an inspiration, man, to all of us. And I'm quite sure that we've changed somebody's life today.
Absolutely.
Juan Castillo with you. This is the Electric Drum. Have a wonderful week, and we will see you next week right here on the Rhythm of the City, 94.3 WYBC.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.